Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello, please, you smashing wonders. This is a very fun episode, which we recorded live at the Glasgow International Comedy Festival back at the end of March with two totally stunning guests. More on that later. First things first, though, this is the last week, I think, where you can vote for Hoovering for the Listener's Choice Award in the British Podcast Awards. So please do. Don't send me messages about how I said I don't care about awards, because nobody doesn't care about awards. I think what I meant was, if you're somebody who only lives for awards and not for actually being good, then you're going to have a sad life. I live for actually being good, don't worry. But also, prizes are nice, aren't they? It's very unlikely we'll win one, but it would be remiss of me and unambitious of me not to at least ask you to go to the British Podcast Awards website /vote and vote for Hoovering in the Listener's Choice Award. I think you can do that up until the 15th of May, if you're listening to this in the future. That's 2019 that we're in right now as I'm speaking. Next up, I've got some very exciting news I can announce to my guests for Hoovering Live Show, the next one we're doing at the Wells Comedy Festival. It's on the 26th of May. We have got the Bake Off star, the wonderful Bryony May, and also the properly brilliant comedian and presenter Jamali Maddox. It's going to be so lush. It's going to be girt lush, as they say down in that part of the world. And we just had a live show at the Mac Comedy Festival in Wales. My God. Oh, it was just, it's so joyous. I'm not just saying that. They're a really fun thing to be at. So do come. If you're anywhere near Somerset on the 26th of May, that's the next one. And then there's one after that on the 9th of June, an absolute whopper on the South Bank in London with Sarah Pascoe, Tom Allen and Liam Charles. If you want discount tickets to these live shows, these two coming up, then why not consider becoming a patron? Head over to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and you'll see how you can swap money for brilliant Hoovering related perks like discount tickets. One perk that all patrons get is a monthly set of recipes from my guests. And in the coolest news, this week's episode, which you're about to listen to, contains a recipe which Susan talks about from her granny. And she's only let me have an original copy of it, well, a picture of the original copy. So become even just a $2 patron. That's like a quid a month, probably, I think. Do that before the end of June, and that will be in the June guest recipes. Other than that, just remember to keep spreading the word about the podcast. Please rate, review and subscribe. And please thank you so much for listening. You're amazing, you are. Talking of listening, should we get on with it? This episode basically introduces itself. Welcome to Hoovering Live! Nice to meet you. My name's Jess. We're in Glasgow. It's the Glasgow Comedy Festival that's all going on at the moment. And I've got two amazing guests. Would you introduce yourselves for me, please?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. So I am Julie Lynn. And oh, hello. So I have a little restaurant in Glasgow, which hopefully some of you have been to, maybe. It's just in the south side, and it's a little Malaysian place. And I do a bit of food broadcasting and some writing and things like that. So yeah, very much into food and very, very happy to be here.
Oh, thank you for coming. Just an all-round food wizard. Happy to have you here.
I'll take that.
Hello.
Hello.
Who are you? I am Susan Kalman. And I have never managed to get into Julie's restaurant, even though I live down the road, because it's always, always too busy. I have also eaten 3 chicken satay sticks prior to the show starting.
Some of the eating has to
delicious.
Happen.
And I have 2 passions in life. Apart from my wife, I always have to say that. television and food.
Magical.
They're my 2 favourite things in the world. And I enjoy doing both at the same time, or watching something about food on the television, or eating while watching the television. And eating is like my favourite thing apart from television.
This is amazing. So actually, like, your kind of ideal situation would be eating whilst watching some telly about eating with your wife.
Surely that
can be arranged almost daily.
All the MasterChefs, all the Great British Menus, absolutely any programme about food, I will have seen it.
Bake Off?
Loved it. Okay, so... No, the only issue I have is after it went from the BBC, I made a very public statement about the fact I felt that Mel and Sue, who are friends of mine, were treated very badly.
Yes.
And as a point of principle, I've never watched the new one, because for some unknown reason, I have some form of friendship with people, and so I've never seen it.
Damn your integrity, Calman.
I'm sure it's very good. It's just I felt bad, so that's why I've never been on Celebrity Bake Off.
I felt really similar for a series, then caved, because I'm a fickle prick. I've gone back and watched it on all 4. So I feel like we've got so much amazing food here, and dear audience, we won't probably get through it all, so there'll be stuff for you to trough at the end. We'll just have to do it quite fast. I should quickly check, we might not do it now, but have any of you brought snacks? Yes. Okay. Right. Well. Okay.
Snacks for us?
No, I think to eat while we're eating. We might be able to share. I don't know.
I might just sit and watch them eat. This is the most niche porn I've ever been involved in my life.
I don't
when
mention
I
that.
And then they eat and we just watch each other eating all the time. Touch, but we just look at each other.
It's every couple in a restaurant ever. Magnified. En masse. So, Julie, can you tell us about some of the food you've brought for us here, and I'll eat some while you're talking about
it. Great, good. So, we have... You are slightly vegan. Is this right?
I'm nearly vegan.
Nearly vegan.
So
that's the worst thing I've ever heard. It's like when you're confronted in a restaurant. Someone came up to me, Marks and Spencer, and for no reason at all. Because people think... Zoe Lyons has a great joke about everyone thinks she's a vegetarian because she's a lesbian. Shocked she's not vegetarian because she's a dyke.
Oh my god.
Someone came up to me just really aggressively in Glasgow Works as Princess went, could you be vegan?
Oh.
And I said, yeah, maybe. She went, good.
Wow. That's really how to turn people vegan, isn't it?
So we have some glass noodles made out of sweet potato.
What?
Yeah.
They just taste like noodles. Not even glass.
and some mango and some nice stuff.
What do you do to a sweet potato to turn it into that? Are you a wizard?
I was really hoping you wouldn't ask me that because I have no bloody idea.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those ones, it's nice in the
have
packet.
Have you done a spell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
They actually become like that. So they're little kind of like, I don't know if you've seen them before, they're like little clear noodles. You can get them in Cebu and all your Chinese supermarkets. Mm-hmm. But if you were to ask me how to make them, I'd have no bloody idea.
I see. Okay, fair enough. But what's Susan eating?
Susan is having the fishy version.
This is like Wheel of Fortune, I'm Carol Smiley.
Eating, right? And I'll do a Carol Smiley, right?
Okay, love it.
So, here.
It's some of the most coquettish eating I've ever seen. I love it.
Exactly. So we've got some very fishy noodles, I'm smiling, and we've got some prawns through there. So fish sauce, lime juice,
yes.
Palm sugar. So palm sugar, not to be confused with palm oil, don't start throwing darts at me. So almost like a coconut sugar. And then we've got some spinach through it as well. So really easy to make. But I've got some more things as well. We've had, actually you've missed the satay part. We scanned that before you came. And
satay was really nice.
This is some satay dinner in here, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, satay is one of those things, if you see a satay, you think, I'll just have that.
Yeah.
It's quite small, and you just go, it doesn't count.
In that way.
I know like a French fancy doesn't count.
Oh no, that's breath. It's made of breath. Yeah. French breath. That's why it's so tasty.
It's so small. If you have one, it's like you haven't had one.
Yeah.
You don't remember having one.
Absolutely. No. Yeah.
Just gone.
This is, is that sesame oil then?
Sesame oil. And then we've also got some other visually things.
I could.
I generally like it when most people make that sound when they eat my food. I like that.
Yeah, it is a good, well, fucking delicious, mate. There's a reason you're such a swanky pants. Have you been nominated for loads of awards this week?
We have.
Tell us about them, please. Have a little brag. Don't make it a humble one.
So we have been nominated for Best Restaurant in Scotland. I'm trying not to laugh.
If you're American and you're listening to this as a podcast, Scotland is massive.
There are about 50 million people lived in Scotland, and there's one restaurant per person.
Yeah.
No, there are lots of it.
There are lots.
One of the things that Scotland is brilliant in are restaurants. That's amazing.
We're very, very lucky. Thank you. And also because it's just nice to get Scotland on the food map as well. Feels very like kind of patriotic at that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had that, and then we also got nominated for a best. This is always a funny category. The best world food. So that's a new one. It's the best world food. So we'll take that. I'm going to call it best in the world.
Why not?
So we've been very lucky this week.
That's so funny, isn't it? What is world food? I used to work in a coffee shop wine bar when I was a student called Moonbow Jake's. In Southeast London,
really, and it was you made that up.
No, it wasn't. It was a coffee shop called Moonbow Jake's next to a furniture shop called Starbucks. And it was a hipster cafe before there were hipster cafes, and it was run by a man called John, who is a dear man who I have stayed in touch with. So I had to be nice on this. But he used to say, "We only play world music." And I don't ever know what that. He also used to say things like, "I don't know how to make curry in India." Was that kind of guy? He looked like Cyril Sneer from The Raccoons.
If you don't know what Jess is, this is a podcast if you're listening. Jess has done the international sign there for nerd. It's what my wife does when we watch Game of Thrones. Because she's read the book, which makes her better than me. And when we watch it, she'll occasionally pause it and go,
let's see what happens in the book.
And I have to sit and listen, and then she'll start it again. And it has been a tortuous life.
Just a heads up. Susan's wife is here, and has just clicked to the beach.
Yeah.
No, she just gave you the middle finger. I don't know if you saw it.
There's no point in pretending anymore. Financially, we have to stay together. Let's just make the best of it.
love it. All right.
What else?
Well, okay, so what food-wise we've got some bread and also some cakes. I don't know if it's cake o'clock yet, from a beautiful gluten-free bakery on the south side called Wild Flowers.
Spelled F-L-O-U-R-S.
Clever. I like it.
Very swanky pants.
And it's just on Kilmarnock Road. If you've gone to the mini garage or too far.
And I went in, I mean, I don't get it.
I live around the corner from there, and it used to be a dentist, apparently. So it's set off the road, very little on-street parking, but just popped down one of the other roads. Lovely benches outside, so you can have a cup of coffee. I have actually been there myself before this podcast, and I'm just explaining.
No, I like it.
To them, go straight along Kilmarnock, off Pollock Shaws.
I did say to them, please give me a lovely discount and will there be a lovely advert for your bakery? And it really has been quite a detail. Yes.
Delicious.
To go on that, okay. And we'll, I guess we'll have the cakes afterwards. We've got some vegan cheese from another local manufacturer called the Nutcrafter. And apparently, like, they are having to expand, and everywhere that they supply is selling out of it very fast. It's made with nuts. It's not meant to be exactly like cheese. It's not meant to replace cheese, but it's meant to be absolutely delicious. Okay. And it's called, like, a nut cheese cream. So I think maybe there'll be more... Oh, I don't know how to describe it. Like a...
That one's the...
Like a cream cheese or like a goat's cheese. So I'm going to try this age smoked chipotle one. That one's seaweed. That one's got... That's Susan's face that the audience are laughing at there. That one's chives.
I'm not sure about this.
Yes, I get the impression you're not... I'm not 100% confident you're going to have a fabulous time. But, and that's some cashew butter,
this
which
not,
I bet
no,
would be
No disrespect to anyone eating this or making this at all. It's like, I don't... So, here's the thing, Jake. Andrea Leadsom was in the House of Commons talking about whether or not children should be exposed to gay people.
Fucking hell.
And I tweeted, if you're exposed to me, all you'll realise is that I hate cheese and bigots, but I really hate cheese. I really wish I hadn't tweeted that, because a lot of people really like cheese. I went to a food intolerance testing thing.
Yeah.
Ooh. Where you hold the things, it's like Scientology.
Right.
And you hold the rods and I have
the divining rods.
Yeah. You hold them.
Is that what you have to do?
So you hold them and then they put something on your thumb and it shows whether or not you've got an intolerance. I'm intolerant to cow's milk. And cabbage.
Cabbage.
I know, and I love Brussels sprouts and kale. Anyway, so I don't eat a lot of cheese anyway because I really don't like the taste of cheese.
So apparently lots of adults in the Western Hemisphere are intolerant to cow's milk.
Yeah.
But we just sort of put up with the farts.
I mean, I do.
We've got a separate fridge in the house. And it's called Lee's Cheese Fridge. Because she's not allowed to bring it in the house because the smell of it will make me vomit on myself. I hate the smell of cheese.
That bad?
No, I think it's disgusting. You know when the family will sit around at Christmas with Stilton and a spoon and they're all like... Ehh! It's disgusting.
Okay, well, before I knew that I was nervous about your reaction to the vegan cheese. I'm trying the vegan butter as well.
It's not that smelly, if that's any.
It doesn't smell of anything.
She's not puked yet, so that's good.
I'm salty, it's amazing.
I try stuff like a child with my tongue for that.
Oh my god, I fucking love it.
It's like Philadelphia. It's lovely.
Oh no, I mean that's...
Oh no,
oh, no you've got that. We've got the creamy butter. It's really aerated. It has got a slightly cheesy aftertaste.
It's gone after colour, I'm going to go in.
After colour.
Not too bad, actually. It's not too bad. That's actually very nice.
That's a huge... I think that's high praise. I think it's delicious. Right.
But with normal butter, I put about same work as the bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just loaded that cashew butter whip stuff on like it was ice cream on a cone.
It is nice. And if you're looking for an alternative, I think that would be very, very delicious for people. Shall I try some of the cheese that looks like patty?
Would you like spicy stuff?
Yes,
patty. Okay, I'm going to try the spicy piquant one with smoked.
I didn't realise this is what this podcast was about.
Oh, God.
That is fucking nuts. Yeah.
I love the spicy one.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's really nice. They're really nice, guys.
It's smoked
and spicy.
Little chilli guy. Mm.
That's actually very nice.
Oh, my God! They're all really nice! Nutcraft. I think, can we have a round of applause for Nutcraft there?
Is that don't, it's not cheap, it's a spread, it's a nice spread.
It's like a lovely flavoured spread.
It's a nice flavoured spread.
Which is a lovely thing.
It's a lovely thing.
Well,
yeah.
Apparently, cheese making is a process, so you can make cheese out of nuts, you can make cheese out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not go into the other options. okay, so, I mean, should we have some conversation before we move on to the cakes? It's such a shame, isn't it?
Such one of the best links in any show I've
ever seen. Oh, thanks, Susan, yes.
Shall we have some conversation then?
I will cut that out.
Don't cut that out.
Okay. Julie, I read that you said that Paris is your most delicious holiday spot. That was the exact wording. What bits of Paris have you eaten?
Like where that was going. So Paris, I just really like, this is going to sound super bougie, but there we go. So it's
I really like
when you, it's true though,
great word.
They always go and get fresh baguettes every day, so and you'll see them all carrying, it's all quite handsome, both men and women, absolutely wonderful, all of them carrying along their fresh baguettes, nice butter. And actually I'm going to kind of do Paris out of its own French justice, but I had some of the best dumplings in the kind of more Chinese section of Paris when I was there. It's in a place called, can't remember the top of my head, but anyway, get there and I'm thinking, I just can't be bothered with any of these roux, any of these gels and whatever they call it in French words that I can't pronounce. I'm just going to go get some dumplings. And they were some of the best ones of my life. So I didn't quite include that in that interview.
Yeah.
But that was the side note of it. So again, kind of going back to the roots. But I mean, Paris is just...
What you're saying is that everybody knows Paris for its Parisian food, but that Paris is also very good at world food.
World
food.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like a world dumpling as much as the next person.
Exactly.
Susan, have you ever had a holiday or a travel that was made particularly memorable by something you ate?
Yes. we haven't actually had a research call for this. This is unlike many other podcasts where they ask you in advance things. Jess doesn't. So,
I like the risk.
My favourite story about food ever, and it's an absolute true story, many years ago, when I was about, I think, six, approximately, my dad went to Qatar for a business thing, and we all went across, and we stayed in a very fancy hotel. It's where my love of fancy hotels comes from.
Right.
Because there weren't really fancy hotels. Let's be very honest, in Scotland at that point, there was not a fancy hotel. We used to go to Arran on holiday and stay in a farmhouse, so we were in this six-star hotel. And
I didn't know that existed.
I was very young and I discovered that you could go down to the restaurant any time.
Like a land cruise.
Yes. So what I was doing was I was getting up at 2 a.m. going down to the restaurant in my pyjamas and ordering spaghetti bolognese. Because I'd never had it before. And I did that every single day. And my parents only found out at the end when they got a bill. And found out I'd been wandering the hotel, sitting, and the staff thought this was hilarious. Can you just sit? Get the bolognese, please. And then I had to go, thank you.
Did you have a little bit?
Oh my God, that's
it was so sweet that in that day, it was such a nice time where nobody worried really. And my parents weren't even that angry. They were angry about the money, but nobody went, oh my God, you've been wandering around a hotel on your own. Everyone just went, oh, this is quite funny. Instead of what they should have done, which is, how the fuck did she get out of a hotel room? Yeah. Where is she going? I'm going to walk up in the morning covered in bolognese sauce.
in your head.
The only other time that I've really, when I worked, this is going to sound very strange, when I worked on death row in America as a lawyer with serial killers.
Didn't know that, right?
Yes, I worked with serial killers. Anyway, so.
Casual.
We travelled around the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia collecting evidence on some of the cases, and I went to a proper southern restaurant. You know, the ones with the mashed potato and the gravy and the fried chicken. And it was, I've never experienced such happiness. It was a plate of beige. Because their gravy is very beige.
It's very creamy. It's very
creamy gravy.
Is it akin to, I don't think it's, it's been too long since I've been there and I've been told it's changed, but this sort of original KFC gravy?
Yes.
Really thick and beige and salty. So salty.
Absolutely.
So delicious.
And there's no it's that my wife says when I have a good meal I walk in a particular way.
Tell us about it. Tell us about the special walk.
I walk because food makes me so happy.
Yeah,
I mean, so happy.
Me too.
That after I've had a good meal I walk stomach out like this, like the happiest person in the world, because it's, nothing makes me happier than good food.
Yeah.
I was asked, here's the thing, I was asked, I'm on a television show soon, and they asked me what my hobbies were.
Just tell me you said dinner.
I basically said, I go to the gym, I watch Vera on the telly, and I eat.
Yeah! That's we're twins!
They said, well, I mean, you must do other things. I went, no.
It's exactly the same. So, not to like dark it out, this is also very, I think, similar. This is just me empathising, but also taking it to an extra level. Like, I have flirted in my time with a spot of binge eating. And you're welcome. And I remember the first time I had a conversation with my therapist about it. And she said, and so when you're in that state where you're just mindlessly eating, you're not even tasting it, it's just going in, tell me how you feel. Be honest and tell me how you feel. And this is not to detract from people who find it very traumatising, but she lost her shit because I went, I feel amazing. I fucking love it. And she's like, okay, well, what about afterwards? Is there guilt? Are there sort of plans for sort of resolutions the next day? I was like, no, I feel really nice, mate. I absolutely love it. You're going to have your fucking work cut out getting me to stop. It's been some of my happiest times.
When I was at university, and I didn't really have a lot of friends, and I didn't have any money, and I just used to, a treat on a Friday, I'd go and get a Sara Lee chocolate gâteau, and that was my weekend. Now, I'd like to say, I have a very unhealthy relationship with food, ladies and gentlemen, and I am aware of that, and with my therapist, I'm also trying to deal with it. However, she'll say, what's been the highlight of your week? And I'll say, Saturday night when I had a chicken tikka masala.
I think that's just taking joy from life.
Yes,
it's great.
There's something, now for me, the one is bed spaghetti.
Oh,
bed spaghetti.
But so, you stay in bed for it, you don't get up to the restaurant at 2 a.m.
No. And so you get a big massive bowl, sit there with your favourite towel, which you might have if you do this all the time.
By towel, do you mean massive bib?
Yes, I do. And I'm proud.
Yes, good.
It's amazing. And the saucier the pasta, everywhere it goes, and you're lying in bed, and maybe you'll stay single forever, but that's okay. That's fine.
I think there's people out there with a lot of time for that.
I
me and
this is okay. So someone came up to the other night and went, oh, you're really rich and famous. I was like, right, let me tell you a story. So, I'm not for a start, but the second thing, I listen to podcasts all the time. It's my, I love them. So, and I put headphones on in the house so that just because. So eating beans for lunch because I was crazy. So I was having beans for lunch, and I didn't know, but the headphone was dropped into it, and I put it in my ear, and there was beans. Just The other day, I was trying to work out how to get free things, right? Because everyone I know seems to get free things. Yes. And no one ever offers me free things.
Yes.
And I was like, right, I need to start doing, like, what some people sort of struggle with do, which is they take really fancy photographs of themselves looking sexy.
For social media, and be like, oh, I'm wearing Adidas. Hello, Adidas.
I'm going to become an Instagram influencer, and then I'll get offered free shit all the time. So I was like, okay, I can compromise. I'll do that. That's no problem at all. So I was like, oh, I wonder what I could do. And I was genuinely sick. I'm like, I wonder what I could do. Because I don't want to show any of my house, because then people know where I live. But anyway. And I realised at that point, I've got this big jumper that I wear that's got cartoon cats on it.
Yeah.
And when I reach for my phone, I dip my boobs in the beans. So I'm like, I've bean boobs. I think this is why I'm not an Instagrammer.
We'll get there. I think there's a woman who's massive on, it's YouTube actually, but just through pressing her face into bread. So tits covered in different dippy sauces is definitely there. I think this could be one. This is going to be, I was thinking about just, I was going to start pressing my face into food and going, can I have a pound, please? Little videos of that.
There's something weirdly sexual about how she does that.
Oh, she's fucking a filthy pig. She's a dirty, 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 dirty. She knows exactly what she's doing. She just very slowly will press a brioche up against her face. And then basically her tongue is basically in her other cheek going. She's absolute muck. It is muck. In a good way.
See, I was offered free things, and then because I work for the BBC, I didn't want to do it, because I don't want to be the person. Because I work for the BBC and I still have some form of ethics.
Yeah.
Like, I turned down mattresses and stuff. And then I think, why did I do that?
Yeah. Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I've been stockpiling toilet roll, and someone said, "You're an idiot, Susan. That's not what the problem is. The problem is things like oat milk and cat food, because the factory's in France, and that's Europe." and when Brexit does happen, right?
Yeah.
And the barricades go up, none of us are going to have pet food or oat milk. I mean, it's going to be a fucking nightmare. So I've been stockpiling cat food and oat milk.
The problem is that I think, in all seriousness, the stuff we're going to be fucked. If we dropped out and we'd have to wait till we sorted out some fucking rancid trade deal with America, is it will be fresh fruit and vegetables, which are very hard to stockpile.
Yes,
for more than 3 days.
If you do what I do, which was when I did the shopping, I'm not very good at numbers, Julie. Okay. And weights, and I sometimes order too much. So I ordered about 3 sackfuls of ginger the other day. ordering one small piece of ginger. And so I posted this on Twitter, and someone very helpful,
it's the homies are on Twitter,
says, freeze it, then you just grate it. You just grate it if you freeze it, then you, and then you don't need to waste your ginger.
Exactly.
And so I've cut up onions, and I've cut a frozen veg, my own veg, in the freezer for Brexit Mageddon.
I'm going to copy that. I didn't know that about ginger. I love learning the tip. Do you know the tip about how to get the skin off ginger?
No, I don't.
I bet you already know this, Julie. Yes. You just get a teaspoon and just rub it down the twat.
Exactly.
And then you don't have to like waste any, like when you chop it, a bit of ginger gets wasted. And no, if you're just rubbing the back of a teaspoon down, it just scuffs off like silk.
Sorry, what part of the teaspoon?
Just the side edge,
just
like this.
Okay,
imagine my thumb is a thumb of ginger. Do this, Susan. This is great for podcasts. And it all just comes off.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be a special spoon like a grapefruit spoon.
No, just this normal, just this teaspoon would have done it.
Wait a minute, what's a grapefruit spoon?
Hang on, you said you're not posh. I'm not posh, I dip my tits in beans. But you do know what a grapefruit spoon is.
The reason what a grapefruit spoon is because in the 80s, ladies, including my mother, used to do things like the grapefruit diet.
Oh, yeah.
And she would eat, she hated it, and she used to put a ton of sugar on the top of it. And a grapefruit spoon is a spoon with a serrated, it's got a serration at the top of it, so you can properly get the parts out. There's a man in the front knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Do you? What, like a zester at
it's
the top?
No, it's just, it's just like a little serrated bit.
It's a spoon with a serrated edge.
Yes.
There you go.
I love it that we all found all of that out without letting the man speak. Sorry, mate. Sorry. Just quickly, because that bean in the ear, just to say, to get here for the festival, I brought my three-year-old with me, and we came on the train, and it was where we live, we were like an hour and a bit from Euston, and then it was 4.5 hours up from there. Yeah. He was amazing, touch wood, because we've still got the journey back, but because he didn't stop eating to the point where at one point we're like with a full mouthful of something, he went, and what can I have after this? And then all the carriage were like, but they started off laughing, and then it sort of, by the end it was like a museum exhibit. But anyway, there was healthy stuff in amongst all the shit he ate. And when we got to where we're staying, I got changed into my gym jams obviously later that night, and a blueberry fell out my gusset. Very much crushed. The most devastating thing is I had no idea. Absolutely no idea.
It's really funny you say that. So people would think restaurant life can be quite glamorous, Bubba. It's so not. Had a shower before I came here, and a full garlic peel fell off my body. I don't know where that came from.
There's nothing more lovely than taking your bra off at the end of the day and food falling out of it.
If you've had popcorn, it's a guarantee, isn't it? Oh, a little shower.
A little bit of biscuit.
Yeah.
Oh.
A little bit of biscuit, and you're like, oh, that was a nice biscuit. Memories of your day.
Coriander.
This is the least questions I've ever had to ask.
Sorry.
No, that's a compliment. It's a huge compliment. I don't know. If you could just be sort of less naturally lovely and interesting, do you mind? I'd rather have my work cut out. I'm going to start passing around some cakes. I want you two to tell me about is, just in case there's any, I'm sure there's loads, are there any Scottish foods I've never heard of that you could tell me about?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting
question. I've had tablets.
I don't know what you've heard of, so let's.
I've had tablets. I've never tried buckfast.
Fuckfast. Nice.
Buckfast.
I was like, somebody's told you something wrong.
Or Bucky, I believe.
You're very lucky you can try Fuckfast later tonight round the back of the garage.
Well, we are on Sucky Hall Street.
One of my major memories, it's not a particularly Scottish thing, of my granny used to love tripe.
Oh!
And used to walk up, she used to live in a flat in Knightswood, and you could tell from the street she was cooking tripe. And it was, no one in my family they weren't very good cooks.
No.
My grand... Okay, I'll tell you. The family recipe. So, I'm often asked for family recipes for cookbooks. Because I'm like Kirsty Wark now, and they think she'll have a nice family recipe. She's nearly a national treasure, but like this.
Boobs.
So here was my Gran Wilkie's family recipe. It's Italian mince. And what you do is you take some mince and you cook it in the microwave. And you add a can of Campbell's mushroom soup and a can of Campbell's tomato soup. And you put some pasta with it, and that's Italian mince. And that is our family recipe.
You hold on to that.
Oh, I think. And my granny used to make ice cream by freezing condensed milk.
Oh, see, that's really good, actually.
It's tasty. Yep. It's really, it's lovely.
Yeah.
But we don't really... So tripe, what else is there that Scottish for, Jess?
We've got... Clooty dumpling.
What's a, quite say heavy. It again.
Clooty dumpling.
What's a clooty dumpling?
It's like a fruit loaf but steamed.
It's quite heavy. It's quite a heavy.
It's very heavy.
Yeah. It's reminds me a little bit of Christmas pudding.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, your granny makes it in a tea towel. Yes. Oh, right, and then sits it there for a year.
Yeah. Yes.
And do you have to inject it with booze like a Christmas pudding?
You can do.
Yeah. Yeah, or just drink it with some.
Yeah, that's it.
Jack from the Sisters restaurant, which is a very nice restaurant, did clooty dumpling when she did Great British Menu, because I'm obsessed with it. And they unfairly said it was very heavy, which it is.
It's supposed to be
like that. Oh. It's got fruit in it and all that kind of stuff. There is, of course, what else is there?
Cullen skink.
Is that smoked fish?
One? Fish.
Yes. Mm. So I often struggle with the... I don't know if you'll find the same. I often struggle with the Scottish food scene. Where have we got... You know, you get the equivalent of a nice kebab when you go somewhere, or like a street food. What is our kind of cheap street foods that we have that are Scottish that are still... Well, maybe not even street food, but...
Fried chocolate.
Pakora. It's amazing how many people whenever I go down to London and I talk about pakora, they don't have any idea really what pakora is.
Yeah.
No, it's, you see it on the sides menu if you're getting an Indian takeaway, but it's not like... You don't go and get it with a packet of crisps like you do up here.
But pakora
is so good.
Pakora can be some of the most beautiful things in the world. Now, controversially, Jess... I don't like jam.
Okay. So that. I've just had a taste of that.
Shut up.
Okay.
I don't like jam. I don't like marmalade. I don't like any of these funny, fancy spreads.
Okay. So
that's Susan. Why I voted for Brexit, Jess. So we can finally be rid of these fucking flavours.
You've got a carrot cake cupcake there.
I don't really
from
like carrot
flowers.
Cake.
Okay, don't have that then. Look, this is chocolate ginger cake or a chocolate brownie.
I don't think vegetables should be in a cake.
Oh, I think... one lady very vigorously clapping there. I love a vegetable in a cake.
I don't enjoy the mix.
No.
Right.
It's like... What is a carrot cake? It's a cake, but with carrot. What's the point?
Oh my god, that chocolate ginger cake's amazing, but only if you like chocolate and ginger.
That is so lovely.
It's really inky and glicky, like a Guinness cake.
Oh,
very nice. That's so gingery. It's so gingery. You could make some of that with your 8 tons of ginger.
This is true.
Yeah. Okay, also that was vegan, that chocolate and ginger cake.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm having some vegan brownie. These are brownies. These brownies are vegan.
Vegan bacon is delicious.
Mm.
Oh, I'm not
my
that.
Next door neighbour, her husband is very, very lactose allergic. Mm. And she does the most incredible baking with no dairy in it. And she makes brilliant, it's so beautiful.
She still uses eggs if she's working with a lactose intolerance, though, probably.
She can do, but she can also take them out completely. Mm-hmm. My local cafe. Sorry if I could. Am I allowed? The Dandelion.
Give them
cafe.
A big toot. The Dandelion. Oh, yeah.
Dandelion Cafe in Newlands Park does a lot of vegan baking.
Mm-hmm.
But even, and this is genuinely so. Scotland's wonderful, but was never great at customer service. Sometimes, like if you went to a tea room at a castle or a tourist attraction, it was a bit crap.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Russia?
No, it's, no. It's
better,
like,
or worse.
But I recently went to Pollock House in Glasgow because I'm a member of the National Trust for Scotland. Tea room in there, vegan baking, gluten-free baking, anything you want. The availability, I think, now of these things is pretty
it's
incredible.
Huge. Yeah.
And it's changed that if you do have a food allergy or if you do have an intolerance, you no longer feel like you can't go to eat places or you can't. And I think that's a wonderful development.
It's couldn't really agree more.
We try as much as possible in our little tiny restaurant. Have any of you been there?
No. Yeah. Well, it's good to see how they got in.
Good.
It's just been me with my nose pressed.
And you'll know the kitchen's about the size of this bloody table. So from that, I'm going, right, we'll make a menu. It will have a vegan thing and a gluten-free thing.
Yeah.
It will also have something for lactose intolerance. It'll also have something for, I don't know, pescatarian for, and we also serve some halal meat as well. And by the time I've done it, I'm going, I've got no bloody room left. So I think that's the thing, though. As much as it's hard, I want to do that. And I think Glasgow's actually quite good for...
I think it's very good. I mean, it really is.
Acceptance of all these things.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how true it is, but there are constant surveys saying that if you're a vegan, Glasgow is one of the best places to live. And on the south side... okay, so let me try and explain for you, Jess.
Okay.
So I grew up in the West End. not by choice, that's where I was born. And what rarely happens is that people transfer from one side of the city to the other side of the city.
Is this like Romeo and Juliet?
Yes. So I met a woman who had a bigger property for less money on the south side. Sold up from the north side and moved to the south side. Now, I had never experienced the south side of Glasgow, ever. My family still have nosebleeds when they come across the King's Quay Bridge. They think it takes an hour to get where I live.
It does
because
not.
It's the south side of Glasgow. And they'll say things like, can you get a taxi on the south side?
Do they have computers there?
There's quite a divide in terms. I've never been to the really south side. And I was so surprised that it's the food, the cafes... not just in the West End of Glasgow. So if people are listening to this and they're coming to Glasgow and they think, go to the West End because that's where everyone says to go, there's actually a huge amount of other places
Absolutely,
to go to in Glasgow. Merchant City's fab. And the South Side is a really bustling scene.
Awesome.
And I just think it's important to big up other parts of Glasgow that aren't necessarily the student places.
Absolutely.
There's actually some nice... You can't park on the south side. I mean, that's the issue. Really.
Get a bus, or one of those taxis that they do have there. Yum in my tum. Tell me about something, if there is anything, that you've eaten that surprised you, either in a good or a bad way. For example, like in a good way might be first time you ever had popping candy, but no one told you what it did. Or a bad way might be, do you remember when old Kit Kats had tin foil on and you got a bit on your tooth and it's like, Also, any opinions on these cakes, very welcome. The brownie is in my top three brownies I've ever had in my life.
Delicious.
I know
delicious
you may not like carrots and cakes, but my God, I do. That's delicious.
Is that nice?
It's so nice.
Right?
It looks amazing. It's like it's clearly like brilliantly baked.
Yeah.
Not
loving
on the I'm just corner. Traditional, Jess. I just don't think you should mix things like that. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I don't really like...
If I could taste carrot, I'd be in a weird place. I hate carrots in drinks. I hate carrots in drinks. When you put a carrot in a smoothie and it's like carrot and orange, carrot, and it's like, get the fuck out of my drink. I do feel quite strongly about that, but for some reason, I'm absolutely fine with them being in cakes.
No, for many years, I had a phobia of raisins, a genuine phobia of raisins. No, you are laughing at a genuine phobia.
Yes! I'm so sorry.
Funny.
Oh, thank fuck, sunny. There isn't a raisin in that
my
carrot
friend,
cake.
Libby Brooks, he's now very high up in the garden. She used to sit, if it, she knows I tell this story, it's absolutely fine, with a little box of sun-made raisins at school.
Yeah.
And for some reason, those raisins just grew and grew in my mind into something evil.
Oh, right.
And I couldn't, if I bit into a scone, sometimes in a plain scone, there'll be a raisin that gets in. And I would be sick.
Oh, shit.
And I was frightened of them. And at university, I remember my roommate once put raisins in my bed for a joke. So when I got into bed, it was full of raisins, and I was just... I'm fine
did
now.
Did you puke all over your bed?
I'm fine now, it's okay.
So how did you... I want to know, did you have to go to at some point to a therapist and say, let's work on my problem with raisins?
Do you know what it was? I had a fruit and lemon biscuit.
Right.
And I found that acceptable. And it was like a breakthrough. I'm still not really keen on fruit. Like, I can't stand Christmas cake or Christmas pudding.
Hang on, Zach. It's your favourite thing in the universe is eating, and there's loads of foods you hate.
Yes. Yes. So, one of the funny things about my wife and I is how much she hates that. I would eat the same thing every single night if I could. If I like it, I'll just eat it.
Yeah.
I don't want to take... Before we go to a restaurant, I look up the menu and I choose what I'm having in advance. Never have the special, because it's a surprise. Who wants a surprise? I would eat the same thing all the time if I could. And she can't understand... Like, one of my favourite things is chicken in a white sauce, but out of a packet, the packet white sauce, Coleman's white sauce. Just chicken with pack of white sauce and rice.
Lush.
And I would eat that every single night if I could.
Yeah.
Because it's delicious.
Yeah.
And she says, but that's disgusting. But it's delicious.
Yeah. What about you, Julie? Are you like driven by variety, or do you have like some sort of regulars?
Well, I have lots of variety. But I also have lots of the dirty ones that you're not really supposed to say that you do eat when you're in your bed on a big bowl in front of you.
Tell us more about what you just said. What else do you have?
I bloody love those Heinz baked beans and sausages.
Oh, yes! Yeah. They're my favourite!
Yes. I could put a tin of them away after a few drinks.
Yes.
In my student days, I would just...
Beans and pork sausages. And yep. And
1 minute, ding.
Yeah. Can be all the fancy food in the world, go to all these fancy restaurants, and there I finally officially said it. One of my most favourite things in this world is those bloody sausages that are soft as hell in the little bean sauce.
They're so vague, aren't they? It could be MDF. Absolutely. I never, never, never... If you're listening and going, oh, I know actually what's in those sausages, keep it to yourself, mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. do you know what else is one of the things I love? I grew up in the 70s. My problem is I grew up in the 70s and everything had a sauce. I don't think dinner's dinner without a sauce. Mm. So when people say, do you want just some pasta and some light olive oil and vegetables? No, I don't. I want a sauce on it. It's not... People say soup. Let's just have soup for dinner. Soup is not a dinner. Soup is what you have before you have dinner. It's not a dinner.
It's basically
don't
a drink.
Try and give
it's like
me
a thick
soup
drink
for my dinner.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have soup and a pudding. No, we won't. We'll have a proper meal.
Yeah.
And Angel Delight.
Yes. Do you know, I don't think that's had a mention on this podcast yet, and it's been going for over a year. Butterscotch?
No.
Shut up.
No. It has to be strawberry. One of the worst arguments I've ever got into in my life was on Twitter when I said it has to be strawberry Angel Delight.
I think the fine season, the butterscotch is there.
Strawberry Angel Delight, and if you make it right, you make it, get yourself a fancy glass.
This is what we do sometimes.
Cut some fresh strawberries, drop them in the bottom. Angel Delight on the top with a few fresh strawberries. And you put it, and it's like you've got a fancy pudding.
Such
and
a fancy
angel
pudding.
I'm going to say bougie for the second time. That is a bougie Angel Delight.
Do you know what would make that Angel Delight even bougier?
What's
is
that
you get these amazing freeze-dried, part-rehydrated strawberries. Amazing. And they're like a really popular kids snack in Japan.
Right.
And South Korea.
Yeah.
And, you can buy them in... They're very expensive here, but you can... A friend has a family member who basically illegally... brings back absolutely fucking loads every time she goes home to see her family. Yeah, so we've always got a little second. But that just crumbled on the top of that, just for a bit of texture.
a bit of
whip
was a cool whip on the top. When I was younger, we used to have. Do you remember there was a chocolate stuff that froze in the ice cream?
Ice magic.
Ice magic.
Oh, and it's magic. I've never heard of this.
Ice magic. Yeah, and you put it on the ice cream and it would freeze
straight away. Yeah.
I mean, it was disgusting, but it was ask us some questions. Sorry.
Yeah, let's ask you some questions.
Quick fire.
Okay. Julie, you did a show called Hot Woks, which was all about making Scots more adventurous in the kitchen.
Indeed.
What's the most adventurous thing you've ever cooked?
Ooh. So it's going to be, I was in my granny's kitchen in Malacca, and she is a wonderful woman. She's in her 90s, still going. I think has more of a social life than me, actually. Oh, anyway, so she was like, oh, can you help me cook this this vegetable? And I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And I was kind of looking at it and I was like, fuck me, that looks like a dead dick. It's awful. It was a sea cucumber.
Oh, gosh.
And she just went, sorry for swearing, but she went, and it was kind of worth it if you know what it looks like, but she went, oh, it's just a vegetable. And I was like, what kind of vegetable is that? Is it? Are you sure? I don't think I've seen anything like that. And she went, no, it's vegetables for the stir fry. Cut it up. And it is like nothing you could ever imagine. Have anybody eaten it before? Yeah, good, no. Good. Keep it that way.
Oh, really?
And it's like, it's got this almost short velvety fur on the outside.
Oh, no. No.
Like a soft kiwi.
Exactly, but sludgier inside.
Like a sofa, like one of those suedey sofas.
Yes. Exactly like that. And I went, God, are you sure this is a vegetable? And we stir fried that. I ate it and I puked it back out.
Really?
Yeah. It is the only thing in this world that I've ever tried that I went, yeah, I'm out.
Body says no. Body it says no, thank you.
I tried men at 17, not my mum.
Just pukes it back up. Susan,
quickfire.
I read that your cat's paws smell of digestives.
Did you?
Have you ever licked them? And if not, how? They smell of digestives.
I have licked their paws. Right. I've licked their ears. And I've fed them from my mouth. Well, if you go and get... Lee does this as well. My wife does this as well. If you go to McDonald's, you get a burger for you, and then you get some chicken nuggets for the cat.
Ooh,
they can't have the coating. Yep. So you suck the coating off, and you go and you give it a wee chew, and then you just feed them in your mouth.
I love that story, and it's so true.
Yeah, do you know
cats
what?
One of chicken nuggets.
They do. Do they? Oh, well, I didn't know that. And also, one of the things I like asking people sometimes, which you've just answered, is do you ever think you've fed someone something that's genuinely changed the way they feel about you? And there is no way that those cats haven't formed a deeper emotional bond through that level of care, caring in feeding.
I don't have any children. The cats are my children. I love them desperately. I would do everything for those cats that I would do for a child, apart from pay for them to go to university.
They're already clever enough.
No, I mean, they're very bright. I love cooking, and I think if you ever came to my house for dinner, I always check what people eat in advance. I try and make them... Cooking's one of my favourite things in the world. When I was growing up, my mum used to make lots of food. It was, I love you, so I feed you.
Mm.
Very Italian in a lot of ways.
Mm, yeah.
And food is the greatest way of expressing love and friendship.
I'm a bit Austrian, and that side of that family were exactly the same. And for some quarters, my dad, their only way of showing love. Just feeding. My dad and I had a huge fallout, not that in recent years. And about 6 months later, his way of saying sorry was a carrier bag of ready meals.
Yeah. It's one of those, it gets worse, because if you go into my mum and dad's now for dinner, first of all, you're offered cake, even though it's half an hour before.
Yeah.
We're just about to have dinner. Yeah, but you can have some cake, can't you?
and then some biscuits before dinner, and then you have dinner, and then straight after dinner there's more cake. Yeah. And it's essentially, it's just constantly, my family fear hunger.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, I think it's genuinely post-war babies.
No, for sure.
I think it absolutely is, and their love of sweet things, because they were rationed until the 50s and they didn't have a lot to eat.
Yeah.
And I think the fear that reminds them of being young when there wasn't a lot of food in the country. And so for them, a full cupboard and a full fridge and a table full of food, it, to them, is security.
Yeah. Storm is coming, which I know Glasgow's beautifully ready for all the time, but this time the wind is made out of knives and the rain is made out of angry women. It's a really bad storm. It's moving faster than anyone has ever moved before, but it's agreed to stop if you two, and weirdly it does have to be you two, do 91 hours of country dancing, including 41 trust falls. Google it. And you have to do all of this at the start of the evil storm, so occasionally you will be getting hit by a woman or a knife. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're heroes! You've saved Glasgow through your physical exertions and dancings, and your reward is the feast of your dreams. Please tell me very quickly what would be, if you, and this doesn't have to be physically possible, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be ethical or healthy, give a shit. Just in a dream situation, what would be your favourite thing in a place, we know, when you're really hungry and you're really high and happy and the rest of your life's just looking perfect. I want to know what you'd eat, what you'd drink, who with, and where.
Okay. Ooh. Okay.
Ooh. And none of them have to be possible, alive, etc., etc.
Okay. Ooh. Just one course.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Let's keep it simple. Yeah.
Hard. Because I was sitting with the buffet option.
Yeah. You can say one buffet.
You go first.
Oh. Okay. Number one thing. Oh, this is hard. Okay. I think my thing would be nasi lemak, which is like a coconut milk rice.
Ooh.
But I'm kind of taking on the buffet thing here because you can get lots of different things with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sometimes get it with fried chicken. We all love fried chicken. And it gets an anchovy sambal, some roasted peanuts, also gets a fried egg on top. And
I'd have a fried egg on top.
Yeah. Of everything. And I'd have that. But possibly with some fried chicken, because I'm a bit of a heathen for fried chicken. One of those people that will order a takeaway for four for oneself.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
When they can. So yeah, I would have that. And where would I have it? Oh, I would probably have it in Malaysia. And I'm going to say, oh yeah, obviously, with our queen, Miss Nigella.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Susan?
Yes, so I would have the following. A large plate. Containing all my favourite things. So I would have fried chicken, I would have steak, I'd have macaroni cheese as a garnish. That's right. Do you know what I love? The sandwich. I love macaroni cheese as a garnish to a sandwich. Best thing ever. Mashed potato, gravy, anything else that's unhealthy, all in the one plate. I would have a large glass of ice cold beer of some kind, probably a continental lager, because I'm still European. And I'd be with my lovely wife. And we went on our honeymoon on the Orient Express to Venice, and it was the greatest trip of our entire life. So I'd go to the hotel in Venice, the Hotel Cipriani, and we'd be sitting, looking out over Venice, eating fried chicken and drinking beer.
Yes! Super! And just quickly, have you anything that you're working on at the moment, or where can people come and eat or see or enjoy your talents?
So we have restaurant number 2 on the way.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's in the south side again. Sorry for the west end.
Nice.
Losers stuff.
On the west end. Get through the Clyde Tunnel. It's not that far, is it? And hold your breath while you're going through. It's a great game. Don't close your eyes though. That's a different game. I've never been able to do such geographic.
Oh, yeah. So we have that, and
when's that opening?
Oh, hopefully soon. It was formerly a little roll shop where we had lots of sausage grease in the walls, which we are currently taking away. And so that should hopefully be in the next month or two. It'll be
brilliant.
Really
nice. Okay, we're recording this at the very end of March for listeners. Nice.
Yep. I never do anything live anymore. I've given up stand-up.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Pleasure. My paperback of my second book is coming out in a month's time. Ooh. I'll be at various book festivals and stuff. I've got my fifth Radio 4 series I'm writing just now, and that will be out soon.
Super.
And fingers crossed, we've got another series of Secret Scotland.
Yes.
Hopefully, in which hopefully we'll be in Glasgow because I live there, and that'd be really nice.
Yeah.
So, you know, and just stuff. And if you live on the south side of Glasgow, just around there. Oh, you can see me.
She'll be around there. She'll be in the
Morrisons.
She'll be in the queue for Julie's Copper Tam.
Yes.
Superb.
Yes.
Thank you very much to the audience for coming down. Please give yourselves and all of my guests a massive round of applause. Thank you. Goodbye. Sweet baby Lord Glasgow, you do make the most incredible audiences. Thank you so much if you came. What a fucking belter. You have to check out Susan's shows on TV and radio and Julie's restaurants, the talented pair of wonders that they are. And they're both on social media too, aren't we all? Follow us at The Hoovering Pod. Follow me at Jessica Foster Q. Find out about anything that you didn't understand from the podcast. I will have expanded on it. Anything that was a reference, I put them all in the podcast notes over on our Acast page. So please have a look at that. I also list the live Hoovering shows there. If you're interested in coming to those and want to see where they're listed, as well as where my stand-up shows are listed, go to my website, jessicafosterq.com. There's also a little button you can press there if you want to send me any emails. Last but not least, do vote for Hoovering in the Listener's Choice Award at the British Podcast Awards. Why not? And if you want to get in touch, find me on social media or my website. Thanks for listening, please. Tell everyone about the podcast. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy Hoovering.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.